Let's do the show.
All right, I'm waiting for you.
Hello and welcome. Well, then don't blow your nose in the middle of it.
No, I laughed. Go all again. Right. Start again. Start okay. again.
Be silent.
All right.
Hello and welcome to episode 111 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tubingen, Germany, and with me, as always, is
Adam in Vancouver, British Columbia.
And keep going, Adam.
And with us today is
Dwayne Gervan from Langley, British Columbia.
Welcome, re-welcome, Dwayne.
Thanks welcome. For having me. Thanks for having me.
So, Dwayne, for those of you who missed your previous, Dwayne was on the show number something. I forget now what number it was. Adam, do you know?
I'm going to say 17. No, I have no idea.
Well, I think it was after that. But anyways, Dwayne.
36.
Sure. And derailed. Want to start again?
No, I'm good.
Great. Dwayne joins us. It was on the long exposure.
Yeah.
Right. Wow. It took me a long time to remember that.
See, I knew that. If you'd asked me, I would have been able to say that.
Yeah. Anyways, so Dwayne, tell us a little bit about yourself.
For the most part, what I do a lot of headshot photography and some creative portraiture is my mainstays.
It would be awesome if you just said, I like doing the crossword. And push-ups, evidently. Would be nice. Adam, you caused quite a bit of a stir.
No, I don't think I caused it. I think you caused it.
I did not start the push-up fight.
No, you did. I went back and re-listened just to make sure. And it was clearly at one point you said, I can out-push-up you. You were the first one that posed the challenge. And then I kind of, you know, took it to another level after that, but it was your first comment that was, "I could out push up you."
See, now I know you're lying because there's no way you listened.
I was surprised too. I was just a surprise to hear that it was you who threw down the gauntlet. Yeah,
I'm still gonna blame you. I'm gonna go back and re-edit history. I still say it was you who started it because at no point did I suggest creating a video of myself.
No, that was me. Yeah. Yeah.
So there's quite a few requests for that video. Mostly from your mom, but she's been asking for those videos for a few months now.
Right. Yeah. Well, I think we owe it. We owe it to the fans.
Oh, I had a whole different answer ready to go.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. What's your answer?
No.
Oh,
if we get sponsored by Ed Hardy or Rockstar Energy Drink, I think we'll go ahead
okay.
and do that.
All so, right.
There's that. So what'd you shoot this week? Dwayne, let's start with the guest.
Yes.
So this week we shot a couple headshot sessions. And tonight we did another session with fitness model Brie Jensen. And she really stayed on topic this week with Vogue.
I saw that.
So I've uploaded that.
Great.
Other than that, I didn't get too much.
And Adam, yourself?
I did a Valentine's Day photo that I posted on our Facebook page, but that was kind of like a small present to my wife. So that was one of my many Valentine's gifts to my wife.
Right. See, I live in the land where Valentine's Day is not really a thing.
Oh, no. You're a bad husband then.
No, I just chose a good spot to live.
Okay.
Because we did nothing out of the ordinary. I mean, I buy my wife a dozen red roses every single day of the year.
Right.
So it's just sort of like Christmas being every day over here. But I don't know about you guys. I guess Dwayne shooting a lot of studio stuff doesn't make much of a difference, but I am tired of the winter.
Yes.
I am too.
Okay. it is killing my creative urge to go shoot photos and stuff. And in general, I just find that shooting pictures of other people, like my kid is always here and wife and that, but shooting pictures of around other people just doesn't happen as much in the winter.
Right.
And judging by your challenge photos, Adam, I think you feel the same.
Yeah, had I done it today, it would have been a different story, because we actually had some afternoon sunshine after I picked my daughter up from school. We stayed at the park for a good almost 2 hours, and it was just a beautiful sunshine day. So I shot my photo challenge picture yesterday, not knowing we were finally going to see the sun today. But I actually took the older camera to the park today. And took some photos of the kids just playing around, just because it was a good time of day and there was some nice light. So
you actually took the old camera out.
Yeah, I specifically sort of said, okay, I'm being the snob who every photo is now with the new camera. So I stuck the 85 millimeter on the T2i, the crop sensor, and went to the park. And definitely a big adjustment going back because of just how at that focal length, which I've kind of just fell in love with, it's a lot different on the crop sensor. I'm too close in a lot of situations, but I was happy with the images I got. Of course, there was a lot of light, so that camera performs very well when you have lots of light, and it was magic hours, so I was quite happy with the results.
Great. Yeah, we still have the more snow here. So,
right, I saw you sent a picture of the winter wonderland.
Yeah, it's great, and that's why I ended up shooting more stuff in the snow, like my kid wearing snowsuit that we're tired of now.
Great,
but I did shoot I shot a day with a quarter black Pro Mist filter that I've been talking about before.
Right,
have you ever shot with one of those, Duane?
No, I haven't.
I picked it up for shooting video a long time ago, back when I first started shooting digital video, and that's where I used it exclusively, and then just bought a couple step-up rings to use it on my DSLR, and kind of like the effect. So it sort of brings up dirties the image up a little bit, and then brings up the blacks just a little bit, so it kind of compresses the contrast.
That's a good thing, right?
So it sounds awesome.
It does. It when used properly, I have to get used to it, because it does throw the metering off a little bit in my experience. Like I tend to overexpose a little. And also, I kind of fell into a trap that's about the last week or two. I stopped, for some reason, despite my better judgment, I stopped trusting my histogram. And went with the LCD screen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but worst part was I had accidentally forgot to turn the brightness back up on my LCD after turning it down.
Right.
So I'm outside thinking, wow, I cannot see anything in these shadows. I don't know what my histogram, it must be off, because I can't see anything. And then we get back to the computer and we have overexposed, so...
Too bad.
Bitten by my own snake. Yeah. Sorry, Duane.
No, lesson learned, though, right?
Hopefully.
I bought a new piece of equipment today.
Oh, yeah?
As a late Valentine's present to myself. I bought a new shutter release, this time a radio one, not an infrared one, just because I absolutely hated the one that I bought for like $8. I figured, okay, I'm just going to flush that $8 and I'm going to start fresh.
Mm-hmm.
So I bought not a Canon one, I bought a Godox one, and it is unbelievably awesome. It's got like 100 meter kind of range on it. Not that I need to be 100 meters away, but it has a timer on it. It's got like 16 channels on it, and it works perfectly for what I want, which is to avoid the run in. I can just trigger it from behind my back, from anywhere, and like I say, it has a built-in timer on it. So if I want to trigger it, and it has a 5-second built-in if you want to use it that way.
So how does this attach to your camera?
Just in the whatever the sink, it has a little sync cord, so it plugs into mm-hmm. the side of the camera, whatever that slot is called.
So it's the PC?
I guess it's the PC. I don't know the nomenclature
right.
of those, but I'm thinking it's the PC sync. It's like a little three pronged end. Is that right? It's the, I don't know.
Will it plug into your T2i?
I didn't try actually. Okay. So yeah, I don't know. Because it doesn't have a PC sync in my T2i, correct?
That sounds like a different port.
Okay.
The three prong sounds like...
Well, there's three tiny little holes. Like, it's actually, it's the end that's on the cord is a female end, and then that goes into the camera, I think, has the male end on it.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless, it says it works for all cameras, but then the guy, you know, I told him I would use the 6D, and then he quickly checked the 6D in the store. He's like, oh, yeah, no problem.
And what does this cost?
I was actually on sale. I think it was $40 regular, and it was on for $30. And like I say, it just an enormous step up from what I had, from the cheap little whatever $8 one I had.
But that's you're now going to gain some weight though, probably.
Oh, it doesn't weigh almost anything.
No, just from not doing the run in.
Oh yes, definitely. Yeah, less running for me. That's bad.
Whew. Okay, I look forward to test driving that when I get a chance, because that sounds like something.
I know it's probably a sales pitch of any guy who sells anything in any store anywhere, but when I asked him about the particular ones, he basically said this is the one everybody in the store uses. So I don't know if that's BS or if it actually is, but he just said it like you say, you can set it up across the mall and it'll still work. So,
right,
vote of confidence. But I was buying it regardless.
Okay, Dwayne, do you ever use a remote?
I do, yeah, definitely. And I use just a eBay Yongnuo 602, which also works for triggering your flashes. Okay. It works in reverse as well to trigger the camera with the same sync port that Adam's talking about. And I use it when I do shoot equine jumping events. I put a camera out in the middle of the jumping field and aim it up and hope that nobody steps on it.
Equine means dog, Adam.
Okay, good to know.
No, I've seen the horse picture. You posted a horse picture before, so
yeah,
pretty sure it means horses.
Yes,
and what's the name of that one? The
Yongnuo 602s. I think the new version is called a 603.
Okay,
and it's awesome because it can work for your off camera flash as well as your triggering.
Great. And that's something you could find on eBay or where else?
On eBay. Yeah, on eBay. And I think they're about $40, $45 for one set of them.
Okay. So I'm going to have to get one myself and go with either one of those. That's my plan. The end. Okay. Exifoku results from last week. We had quite a few people nail my aperture. Bang on. It was f2.8.
Okay.
Now, we should say, I'm not trying to trick anybody. I'm glad that people get it.
It means they're learning.
I suppose. And then, Adam, your aperture was f6.3.
Okay.
So, I guess people aren't going to guess that. I would never guess a sort of a middle-of-the-road aperture like that. Like, I would guess either 5, 6, or 8.
Okay, so should I put it in an even stop?
I don't know. Dwayne, what do you think? Do you ever do you pay attention to your f-stop in those terms?
Definitely. I always use the third stop increments.
Yeah. I get the impression now, Adam, correct me if I'm wrong, that you don't necessarily go out of your way thinking I'm going to shoot a 6.3.
No.
You kinda
I don't.
Get it close and then just dial it into what you want.
Exactly. And usually, again, when I'm shooting off-camera flash, some of it is dictated by the max sync if I can get there,
mm-hmm.
And also with that 85 millimeter, like I, you know, if I was shooting with a 30 millimeter, I like around an f4, but I get pretty close to the same depth of field with that 85 millimeter with like especially on the full frame camera with somewhere around between an f5.6 and an f7. So that's where 6.3 is kind of like my conversion in my head to an f4 with that 85 millimeter.
You're probably pretty close, yeah.
If that makes sense, yeah.
See, I think I have OCD and can't... I don't think of f-stops in those like, you know, 6.3 or 7.1, I think of, you know, 5.6 plus 2/3 or
right,
or 5.68 split. And so for me to actually purposely dial that in, well, I probably wouldn't sleep that night. So it does happen, like you said, if you, you know, get to max sing speed or something like that, and it's kind of where the, you know, where the exposure falls. But right, I don't set my camera to that on purpose. I'll get help.
Fair enough.
So last week, Adam,
yeah,
we talked about your challenge photo in black and white. You posted it in color.
Right, this is the one of my wife, because there's a few. There's a couple of colleagues from work. One that you made fun of, and is, I told him about it at work, and he cried.
Yeah, I'm okay with it.
Okay, just so you know.
Yeah. I live pretty far away. So, you know. Although he could hack into my computer, probably. Yeah. Anyways, you posted one of your wife in color. And
yes.
I said I agreed that it is much better, but there is still something that I just can't put my finger on it. Now, I don't know if it's that I know your wife, and maybe this isn't quite representative of her. And so I thought, since Dwayne was on the show, maybe he could take us through the photo and think of, to either tell me I'm full of it, or give us some helpful tips. What do you think?
I welcome helpful tips. Are great.
What do you think, Dwayne?
Sure, we can give it a shot.
Okay, so we're looking at this picture here of Lisa. Go.
And the first thing that I notice, and it seems to be done a lot, and is shooting down on the person.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're shooting down on the person, it gives a totally different perspective. Shooting at eye level really gives a much more pleasing result. You end up with a stronger jawline. You end up with a lot of stuff that just sort of looks like you're actually looking at the person instead of like you're on a ladder looking down. So I think looking down is a big thing. And the only other thing, I think everything else is technically sound. I think the only other thing is just her connection with the camera. It looks to me like she doesn't really want to be there right now and wants to get it over with.
So I did get it right. So you nailed it.
But definitely the connection with the
you've met my wife.
Oh.
I gotta be careful. She's right behind me too. Yeah.
Not very careful then, are you?
Yeah. No. Not really.
Okay. Okay, please continue, Dwayne. That was excellent.
I think those are the only two real points. I mean, the exposure is good. Everything's good. It's just I don't think that she is real fond of being there right at that point in time. And I think that comes across in images. And to take a good portrait, you need to make a good connection with who you're taking a picture of.
I think that's the I'm trying to think of the word, incongruity for me. Is that if you look at her eyes, very bright and sparkly, and her eyes want to be there. Her half smile is saying, are we done?
Definitely.
And if it was one or the other, I think that might have been what did it for me. Now, I think I gave Adam the advice to shoot down a little bit. But I think I've fallen into this exact same scenario where I've wanted to shoot down a little, end up shooting down too much. And then it ends up becoming more of a five head instead of a four head.
Yeah, and definitely. And I think this was the case for headshots for a long time, that you shot down on the person. And more we're seeing a trend where you're shooting straight on, so that there's not this looking down and then, you know, skewing the proportions of the face.
And I think for me, the reason the advice was given to me, and I still do it, but I try to do it slightly, because I'm generally shorter than, well, my wife. I'm shorter than my wife, but it worked for Tom Cruise, so I'm not going to cry about it. But generally, when I'm shorter than somebody, I go on a step ladder to come up to their eye level or slightly higher. And it's always been an idea of an easy way to sort of get rid of that double chin look.
Sure it is, yeah, definitely. And there's another tip that I use to actually get rid of that double chin.
Okay.
And it's to tell the person to push their forehead out and chin up.
Okay.
So they end up, you know, standing in front of you, and they feel a little goofy for the first little bit, and it feels like an awkward pose. But if they actually push their forehead out towards the camera and lift their chin up just a touch, in print or on screen in digital, the image looks amazing. It gives a great jawline, okay, and it gets rid of almost any double chin.
Okay, that's my fault. We skipped ahead to the topic. And we're going to save that. We're going to go into a little more detail with that later on in the show. And I'm going to get my notepad out, because that's kind of where I'm lacking. So, Adam?
Yes.
Making sure you're still there. Yes. Also, we'll work on developing a connection with your wife.
Perfect.
Okay, photo challenge. So this week's photo challenge was, knowing Dwayne was going to be here, was Vogue.
Right.
And based on the on Adam's favorite singer, Madonna.
Yes.
So who wants to go first? Adam, you choose who goes first on this one.
I say you.
Okay. So here's I call this one German Vogue. This is about as enthusiastic as Germans get. So fire away. What do you want to know, Adam?
I want to know how this meets the photo challenge criteria.
I just said it's German Vogue.
Yeah, I looked at this and I said, are we doing headshots again? So I was a little bit disappointed. I thought there was going to be a pose. Is this the pose?
This is the pose.
You could have got something.
Okay, let me ask you a simple question, Adam. Have you ever been to Germany?
No.
Okay. Unless you're shooting Heidi Klum, this is it.
You couldn't instruct him to move at all in any other way?
Yeah, but I, in all honesty, I could, but it wasn't flattering.
Oh, I see.
So,
okay, no, nothing wrong. I mean, I think it's a good photo. I looked at it and I go, no, we're still talking about headshots. So.
Pretty much.
I think it's a DQ. I have to say, it does not suit the criteria.
Wow, DQ. I'm going to edit this out. That's unbelievable.
No, it doesn't fit at all. I just don't think it does. Nothing wrong with the picture. I like the picture. I like the background is really subtle and nice. And again, it's got a sort of dark feel to it, like Sprocket's Rockets on Saturday Night Live.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what it was called, right? With Mike Myers
just
being
Sprockets.
The
Sprockets.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like it better, Sprocket's Rockets.
Yeah, that sounds better. Yeah.
So tell us about how you shot it, because it is a very interesting photo, just not a Vogue photo.
Okay, I will submit that if you walked past a newsstand and saw German Vogue and saw this on the cover, no alarm bells would go off.
Okay.
But you're right, it doesn't have the fancy, doesn't have the fancy Vogue that Dwayne's does.
Right.
Anyways, this one is it's two lights, two Nikon SB28s, one in a shoot-through umbrella. Camera right, obviously.
Yeah.
Not very far from his face, because I'd wanted to get sort of that, a lot of fall off on his face and keep the light off the background, which are just curtains, by the way. And the curtains are lit up by another SB28 on low power, zoomed all the way in with a long, I'm going to say 12-inch snoot to really focus that light beam down.
Okay.
And I positioned it so that it would kind of lead into his head. The end.
Great.
Oh, and then in post, I pulled the saturation to 75% just to kind of give it that desaturated look.
Okay.
Okay. There you
That's
go.
That's it.
Yeah. Dwayne, is this all right, or...
Yeah, I when I was looking at it, I like it. The light is excellent. I love the mood that you've set here, and you know, the focus is great. You know, his eyes are super sharp, and the connection he has, he's real a mysterious feel.
That was actually the difficult part, because I'm not good at that part at the connecting so much, and I basically told him to close his eyes, and when I say open them. And then look like you don't care. And here we are.
Tell that to me every time we start a podcast.
That's a valid point. Anyways, I actually, to, you know, feel good about myself. I actually, despite this not being a typical Vogue picture, as Adam did, Adam is right. I did like this photo, and it's now the front page of my the homepage of my website. So,
really, you like it that much?
It's a good image.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I kind of, in retrospect, would have probably turned down the background flash half a third or two thirds of a stop, but I'm okay with it. There you go. Okay, Adam, let's go to your Vogue.
Okay.
Again, this is your daughter.
Yes, that's about all I could get to strike a pose.
It is, to be fair, it is slightly more posing than mine.
Yes.
So kudos to that. So let's talk about how you shot this one.
Pretty similar setup to you. I just have two lights, so one in a shoot-through umbrella to same thing, camera right. It's a little further away, so you don't get as dramatic a fall-off. And one flash positioned in behind her. She's on a little like coffee table. So she's sitting on a coffee table. It's pulled away from the wall, maybe three feet. Mm-hmm. And then I just have another flash on the floor in behind her that's firing up off of the beige wall, which turns it to pretty much white. And then you get some of the bounce back off of the wall that's hitting the table on either side. And I kind of like that effect. This is kind of a similar photo to the one I did for Valentine's Day for my wife. And since I knew we probably weren't going to talk about it, I kind of just wanted to reproduce the light because I think it's a real easy setup. And again, no white background or anything on this. This is just off the wall. So yeah, just wanted to reproduce the lighting effect. The pose, she tried a few different ones, but I thought this one just kind of, my daughter is a pretty muscular build. And I just thought, in terms of highlighting that aspect, like just this pose, her shoulders, her arms, it sort of highlights her strength.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why of the photos I took, I found this was just kind of a neat pose. My wife did her hair, so I wanted also to accentuate her face, so I brought it forward on her knees like that. And again, she is 5, so getting her to cooperate, this was a relatively easy pose for her to hold.
So who could do more push-ups, me or her?
I think she could do more push-ups.
Okay.
Not 1.6, though, 1.3 times.
Oh, okay. So just, yeah, like a 1D. All right. Got it. I like this pose. I like what's going on with her chin coming forward. Like her chin over top of her knees.
Yeah.
Now, I wouldn't suggest this for everybody, but I kind of like the playful nature of this.
As a child's, you know, kind of picture, I agree. I don't think I would try to pose an adult like this. I think someone might pull a hamstring. I just think that for her and her small body curled up in a ball like this, it was quite comfortable for her. I did like how it sort of highlight. It sort of directs towards the face.
Mm-hmm. Dwayne?
And I like this. I think it's the light is really nice. The pose is really cute. And, I mean, you can tell that she's just loving having her picture taken. It's a great picture. I love the fact that you turned the wall behind white with a flash. It's fantastic.
It is a great one, Adam. I do like the picture.
Okay. It's now the cover page of my website.
No, it's on the front page of mine, actually, so now it's going to get awkward. I do have one nitpick that has nothing to do with taking the photo.
Okay.
And I don't want to seem like I'm piling on here. I want to ask Dwayne what he thinks. The colors. I was, for the last little while, I've noticed a difference in colors in my images and your images, Adam.
Okay.
And I chalked that up to monitor calibration.
Right.
I don't know if mine's correct, even though I do use a hardware device. Maybe yours is correct. I don't know.
But I don't use any hardware device. It's a factory default, my monitor.
Right. So I'm looking at my images and then comparing them to Dwayne's, which have excellent color. And I'm looking at yours, and the skin tones seem a little off to me.
A little bit desaturated?
Okay. I'm seeing now, again, I fully admit that I'm colorblind, but there is a certain there's a skew towards the magenta a little bit.
Yeah, no, they do a touch, a little bit with maybe a touch too much magenta, but you know, just calibrating the monitor would be able to figure that out in a second.
Right. So I mean, but when you get your pictures printed, Adam, I've seen them hanging on your wall, and they look great.
Yeah, I don't know if maybe they're, you know, tweaking them on their end, because sometimes, like I just got a set of prints done, and sometimes I think they look fantastic, and I'd say about, I don't know, 80% of the pictures look perfect, and then some they over lighten and they're completely not anything like what I actually took. So it is a little bit hit and miss, but most of the time the prints are the way I had anticipated them looking.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I don't know, they do a little bit of calibrating on their own machine, so it's always different, right?
Right. So that brings us to Dwayne's picture, which as right off the bat you can see the much warmer skin tones.
I'm going to bring his up right now because I don't see it yet. But I'll take your word for it that it's warm skin tones.
Now, spoiler alert, you know, Dwayne was probably going to win anyway because we're good to the guests. But this one's an obvious winner.
Yes, I like this photo a lot.
So let's just skip over it then. Let's make us look bad.
But I'm most interested in the lights because I noticed in a couple of Dwayne's photos just the sort of the twin lights in the catch lights in the eyes, and there it's a long light, so I'm guessing that's a softbox or two softboxes.
No, these are actually, we got compact fluorescent, or not compact fluorescent, fluorescent tubes in these ones.
Okay.
So these are just two 4-foot fluorescent tube lights on end. It's really a simple thing, and I can upload a setup pic of this, and it's two fluorescent fixtures that are turned on end and just held on light stands.
And so that's all it's lighting the background as well.
There's nothing. The model here, Brie, is about 1 foot, 1.5 feet from the actual tubes, the actual fixtures.
Mm-hmm.
And then the background is just gray seamless. And nice. She'll be about, I'd say, 8 to 10 feet from the background.
And you're shooting through, but like between the two lights.
Exactly, between the two.
Great. This looks great. And she's voguing.
She's voguing. Yeah.
So automatically, according to Adam, automatically wins.
Yeah. Now my other question is, in terms of, like, is this the temperature of the lights, or have you cranked up the warm tones here?
No, this is the temperature of the light. So these lights, I like to shoot them, and they're at 4,100K. So that automatically starts to play with everything. And, yeah. And when I shoot at that temperature, I really get these tones that are super warm. And
okay, hang on. Before we go there, what is normal incandescent, if you can still find them? What does that burn at?
The incandescent would be in around the 5,000 mark, I'm guessing.
Sunshine is about 5,600.
5,600 for sunshine.
Incandescent's around 3,200.
3,200, okay.
And so this 42, you said?
4,100.
4,100 sort of falls in between. So that is kind of an odd... I mean, nowadays, as I've complained many, many times on this show, it's difficult to find, you know, matching lights in anybody's house. I mean, sometimes you're going to have, you know, many different color temperatures in the same fixtures if you have more than one light. So incandescents are kind of hard to find. But typically, you would shoot them at around 3,200 was where they'd be, so very warm. And so fluorescent kind of falls in between. And so how do you set your white balance for this?
For my white balance, I set these by using just a gray card.
Okay, so the do you do it in camera or later on?
I do it. I take a picture of a gray card, and then I just sync everything afterwards.
Nice. And so that's what gives us these. Because I really like these tones. I think it's...
Yeah, definitely. It's a nice warm feel.
That coupled with her hair and it is kind of like a warm gray on the background. So I had thought perhaps you had added a slight filter, or like Adam said, cranked it up. But it looks like you got it nailed.
Yeah, this is pretty much straight out of camera. They're there's nothing done to this one.
Great. Any more questions, Adam?
I got no more questions. But I did notice on, I was reading on David Hobby's site, Strovis.com, the other day that, you know, he makes mention that he always kind of pre-gels his flashes, in a warm tone.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just thinking, like, you know, it's not something that I ever really do. I always try to either use a gray cord or just kind of correct by eye afterwards. But seeing this makes me just think, I mean, that's another thing could be doing is just pre-gelling the off-camera flashes, whether they go through an umbrella or however they get used, just already to start with a warmer tone. Because I agree, looking at this, I don't know what her skin tone looks like naturally, but it looks really good in this photo.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something you do?
Myself? I do, yeah. I use just little quarter CTO gels. And if you're shooting anywhere, especially like if you're shooting at the beach and if you even have a half CTO, the pictures almost seem like sunset in the middle of the day, and people always want that sunsetty look, and just the whole warm feel to it. It's just adds to the image, I think.
Yep, I love it. Okay, let's give us some Exifoku info for these shots. So going through in order, I shot mine on a full frame camera. And just for variety's sake, we're going to go with the ISO this week. It's going to be the missing link. Because they're all flash photos. It's going to be difficult to determine based on what you see. But we're going to just figure out where everybody started with ISO. So mine was full frame. I shot mine with an 85mm at an f5.6, of course, an even f-stop number. And maximum shutter speed of 1/200th. Adam, 85mm as well. F4.5, this is of your daughter.
Mm-hmm.
F4.5 at the maximum shutter of 1/160th for your camera. And Dwayne, I have it right in front of me. Dwayne, also full frame. F4, 1/125th. At 153 mils on the Canon 70-200. So, ISO. Where do we go with the ISO? That's the Exifoku this week. Okay, this week's topic is how to pose. That's the best name I could come up with. Adam, do you have a better name for that?
Posers.
I was thinking about posers. Then it was with hosers, and then we have the skate posers. How about just posers?
Just posers.
Good. You're good for something, Adam. Good for you.
And you can, I'm sure, come up with a good album art for that.
Yeah, again, I'm going to leave that to you this week.
Sure, it'll be a picture of you.
Be a big blank sheet. Yeah, or a picture of your wife or kids.
Yeah. Yeah. One from the park today.
No, I'm really excited that Dwayne's here to share some basic posing tips with us. Now, these are just basic. They work in ambient light. We're not going to talk about lighting or any other technique. Just the relationship with your subject. I say subject because we don't all have access to pro models,
right?
But I guess by definition, your subject is your model. If you're telling them what to do,
definitely.
Okay.
So I'm always my wife's model.
Yes, it just in life, your her life model.
Yeah,
that's one way to look at it. The other one ends in whipped, but yeah. So these are. It doesn't matter. If you're shooting with a point and shoot, you're fine. But Dwayne was telling me that these tips only work with Canon. So if you're shooting with Nikon, you're out of luck. So send all emails to Dwayne about that. I don't know where that came from.
Yeah.
Anyways, Dwayne, basic tips. Where do we start if we're working with a model?
I think the number one key thing is to stand up straight, have a straight spine.
Okay.
Slouching really tends to get accentuated with a lot of things in photographs, and it ends up with a bad image. One thing that's great working with male or females is a bit of a shoulder turn.
Okay.
And to drop the front shoulder a bit.
Hey, when you're, we'll start with full length, like we're talking head to toe sure. images.
Yeah.
And you're directing somebody how to stand. Do they keep the weight on both feet, on one foot?
Usually what happens is people get so uncomfortable for the first little bit is I just look at the whole shoot as a conversation, and I want to talk to them and not direct them immediately how to pose.
Okay.
And then when I see them kind of do something where they feel comfortable, I just go, yeah, yeah, just hold that. And then we take a few, and then we just adjust from there. But for the most part, if people have their weight sort of on one foot, they tend to kind of be shifted a little bit. And I don't think it translates super well through the image. So I think that if we can get them sort of to equalize the weight, I guess, a little bit on both feet, it seems to work better.
Okay, so Adam, as a physiotherapist,
yes,
do you find that most people stand on one foot or the other in everyday life? Like, do people favor one side over the other?
Absolutely.
Okay, so that's a natural instinct, is to sort of, let's say I'm right-handed, would I stand more on my right foot?
Not necessarily, but your instinct is right, because most people do, they will kind of have their weight towards their stronger side. Okay. People like to do things in a way that's easiest. Uh-huh. So your strong side will tend to bear a greater percentage of your weight, and when you get tired on that side, you'll probably shift to the other side. But yeah, most people don't stand with a perfectly even distribution of their weight, especially if they're standing still.
So that's, you know, one thing you have to address when you're shooting someone's photo is to address that immediately, correct?
Definitely. I believe so. I always do. I try to get them sort of standing on, you know, equal weight.
Okay, so now we got them nice and balanced.
Yeah.
Straight
spine. A little bit of a shoulder turn.
Okay. What does that mean?
A little bit of a, almost a 45 degree angle to the camera.
Okay, so bring one of their shoulders forward.
Definitely, yeah. And that will just... It's very pleasing for most people because it reduces their body size to the camera, so
okay.
it looks better.
Now, see, for me, when you see images that are basically front on, just straight, even shoulder images, you know, you automatically think of like the Department of Motor Vehicles or a mugshot or something like that. Is there a reason? Is there an association that we make? I wish I had a psychiatrist on the show at this point, but I don't know who I'm asking.
I think we do associate that with a mugshot when you're straight on, flat on. And the only way, some people are much more comfortable that way, and the only way as photographers we can sort of work on that would be to, you know, work with different depths of field so that everything's not in focus.
Okay.
But, you know, for the most part, yeah, that I think when it's flat on, people think, there's your driver's license picture.
And so now that we have, it's funny because actually when I go to the DMV, I always do the shoulder tilt myself. Don't be afraid to vogue at the DMV. They're fine with it now. So now which shoulder do you bring forward, left or right?
I like to shoot people from the good side, from their best side.
Okay.
And if you can't tell by looking at someone which is their best side, mm-hmm. it's about 90% of the time it's the side that they part their hair on.
Uh-oh, Adam.
Yeah, it doesn't help me.
Yeah. See, yeah, Adam, I find whenever I shoot Adam, it's always from behind and a good 100 feet away.
You had that one prepped.
No, I didn't.
It was that you wrote that down in the show notes.
I did not. I'll send you the show notes. I'll post the show notes. That's the only note I wrote. Oh, I hope Dwayne goes there. I hope Dwayne goes there. Yes!
You are leading the witness.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to need permission to treat you as hostile from now on. Okay, so you want to, you pick the, if they don't know, it's the side you part your hair on. That's the
about 90% of the time, yeah.
Okay. In Germany, they actually call it, it's called the chocolate side. Your good side?
Is your chocolate side? We'll call it that from now on, too.
I don't think I want to call it that. I always tell people that when I'm shooting like English speakers, because they always get a kick out of that and think it's funny and laugh for the photos. But it's an odd turn of phrase. However, okay, so now we got them positioned one shoulder forward. What next? What do we look for next?
What we look for next is the forehead. I like to have the forehead out towards the camera and chin up a bit.
Before we go there, we should go back to what you said earlier. You hinted at, well, mentioned earlier, was the camera level. You keep your camera at eye level.
I like to shoot eye level, and that means if I'm shooting a child, I'll be down on my knees.
Okay.
I think that in the sort of older style of photography, we shot down on people, and that was to, you know, reduce a double chin or to, you know, make some of their features pop out and have them looking up at you, you know. But I think the style is outdated, and you can really date images and date when people learned how to do an image from that. And I think the current trend is definitely eye level.
Usually people, when they ask me, you know, what's the best way to reduce the double chin, I say exercise. But
yeah.
Shooting down. See, that's one I had chambered, Adam.
Yeah.
No, I didn't really. I wish I had. Okay, so we're even now. Now we're going to position the head, bring the forehead out.
Yeah, and the chin up just a bit.
Okay, now how do you convey that to people? Because
I always show them. I stick my neck out, and you know, you kind of end up looking like a bit of a chicken.
Okay.
And you tilt your chin up a little bit, and a lot of the times, you know, about 95% of the times, they laugh and they think I'm putting them on. And then when we take a few frames and we show them the pictures, they can see the difference, and it makes for a great image. It just changes everything, gives a good strong jawline, and I don't mind looking like a fool because I do most of the time, so.
that's the hardest part I always find is letting the, you know, the subject know that it's going to look good on camera. Because, you know, oftentimes when you're shooting with, like, you know, two buddies standing next to each other, their instinct isn't to stand next to each other, it's to stand apart a little bit. And you tell them, no, look, if you stand like this, it'll look normal on camera. And that such is the same, I'm guessing, with the chin out. And or the forehead out and chin up, is it's going to register nicely. So I guess by showing them the LCD screen, you build their confidence.
Definitely, yeah. And I actually bring a little book of 4x6s with pictures that are, you know, similar, especially for headshots, to show people that these little tips, this is what everybody's done in these ones, and this is the reason it works, is because these tips. And you kind of gain their trust right away, and once you've gained their trust, they'll pretty much do anything for you. Yeah.
Okay, so that's something to think about, is to bring some sample images, and in fact, I might take it one step further and shoot some side images of a how-to, like show images of that person putting their neck or their forehead out.
Yeah.
Okay, so we got their head positioned. What are some other things to look for in a full length body shot?
In a full length is the positioning of the hands, and the hands are always a tough thing for people to find out. What should I do with my hands? Where do I put my hands? Mm-hmm. And a lot of the times, you know, we as photographers, I think we cop out. You know, stick them in your pocket, put one on your hip, and there's probably 100 better ideas. One of the things to avoid is to avoid having any right angles in their arms. So if they put their you know, hand on their hip, and the elbow looks like a right angle, a 90-degree angle, it's a very conveys a very strong image. And if you have them either raise their hand up or lower it down a little bit down their thigh, it'll change that angle.
Okay.
And all of a sudden they become a different person. It's not a big strong look anymore. Now all of a sudden it's a bit softer and a much more pleasing look.
So now, again, Adam, is that a natural physical instinct?
What, to bend at a 90-degree angle?
Well, I guess to convey strength, I would suppose. But then, yeah, the 90-degree angle, it's not something I've ever considered before.
I think in general, I might be generalizing, but I think, you know, the tendency was probably more likely with guys to do that, right? And especially, and you both have way more experience than I do, but I would think with guys, they'd probably, you know, either want to, you know, fold their arms over in front of their chest, you know, crossed arm looked, or like you say, be fiddling to put their hands in their pockets and wherever, you know, your elbow falls. You know, it sort of seems to me like that would be the case, as opposed to naturally. I think everybody's comfort level in that situation is different, but I don't think, you know, when we stand normally, I think most people would just kind of let their arms hang by their sides, right?
Well, I what registered with me is I know that I'm a hands in my pockets kind of guy.
As am I.
Yeah. And oftentimes I'll put my hands in your pockets.
Which is kind of awkward.
Yeah, it doesn't make it, but yeah, it doesn't make for good photos.
Or it makes for great photos.
Well, thanks for making it weird. Okay, so give the hands something to do. So what's an example of besides, you know, putting your hands on your body somewhere, can you give someone a prop? Is that something that you think about?
Sure, you can give props. I tend to stay away from them just because the more things that I have in the picture means the more things I have to worry about. Is this going to be distracting? Are these colors going to go with, you know, what they're wearing? There's just, for me, it just adds another variable, and I like to keep things so simple that a monkey can do them.
Okay.
So I like to not have props, and I'll have them either, you know, have a hand or a thumb in the pocket just to kind of give a bit of a casual look for the most part, or they can, you know, have their arms where they're, have one arm a bit across their body grabbing their other elbow. But just also to watch for that 90 degree.
I always find now, even though it's comfortable for me, is oftentimes to have my arms crossed, and it does convey a sort of a feeling of well, strength, or, but it doesn't really create an open feeling. Like for the whoever's looking at the photograph doesn't feel invited to participate, is what I find.
Definitely.
So how do you avoid guys like myself whose instinct is to just cross their arms? What do you tell me?
If we're doing a full body, I would definitely have you. I'd have you put one, you know, hook one thumb in one of your pockets, whatever shoulder is forward. I'd have you doing that with that one. And with your back one, I might just have it hanging for the first couple and then see how it goes. But I might have you end up with your hand sort of up in your hair or behind your neck or something like that.
Okay. This is getting weird. This is getting really weird.
That's because you walked in the middle.
This is the worst image you can put in my head, Dwayne, before I have to go to bed. Al running his hands through his own hair.
Okay, now, glitter Vaseline.
Where do you fall there?
Yeah, where do you get that? Because I have a never mind. Okay. Now the last thing about the full length. Now you sent me a note here, and I don't understand what this means. A near or equal ratio.
That was when photographing in the past. I've done a lot of couples, so that was when photographing two people, especially a man and a woman. What ends up happening is a lot of the time a photographer will put, you know, the man in front with the woman behind kind of clinging on. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden she's lost and his body looks massive because of the ratio. So I would definitely have, in this case, I would have something like the man turned to almost sideways and the woman turned to about a 3/4 so that we could see an equal amount of body in them. So you know, if we wanted her hanging off his back, we would kind of turn him almost sideways so that we can see just as much of her body as his body.
Gotcha. It seems to me that shooting couples is a whole other kettle of fish.
Definitely it is.
Okay. That's going to be another episode, I think, because Adam can't pay attention for all of that right now. Yeah, you're busy doing sketches of me with my hand behind my head. Okay, now let's say we're gonna do some headshots now, some more close-up head and shoulders kind of things. What sort of what are we looking at now? Where do we start with that?
It's really similar. I got a few rules, and when I shoot a headshot session, I call it a conversation because I just talk to the people, We'll do the same thing with the shoulder turn, and we're going to shoot their best side. We're going to drop the front shoulder just a bit, and we're going to do that thing where we get them to push their forehead out and their chin up. Mm-hmm. And the last and final thing we would do with the headshot is we just get them to squint just a little bit.
Okay. Squint.
And squint just a little bit. And the squint ends up making the person look a little more appealing. They actually look a bit more down to earth, believe it or not.
Because I know a lot of people that come to me always complain that they squint too much in their amateur photos.
Yeah, and the squint is just a tiny bit. It's not like they're actually squinting because the sun's too bright.
Mm-hmm.
I try to tell people to try to push their ears forward, and it gives them just a tiny little squint, and that's just the perfect amount.
Do you ever conjure up the Eastwood? That's what I would call it. I would call it the Clint Eastwood.
Oh, the Clint Eastwood. I think that's a lot of squint, though.
Yeah. It is. I've had some clients who basically are really so aware of it that they look like everything coming out of my mouth is a giant surprise. And it's just these huge milk saucer eyes. And I can't get rid of it. So,
and one of the ways that I've been able to sort of overcome some of that is I used to shoot primarily with studio heads, so the flashes were crazy bright.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like people, their eyes were really wide waiting for the next one. It's almost in fear. And switching over to fluorescence, it's really changed the way, because it's a constant light, and although it's bright, they get used to it in a matter of 4 or 5 minutes, and then they're much more relaxed, and they're not waiting for this crazy flash to blind them for 5 seconds.
Right. Something else, a little technical thing, is what can cause, from what I've heard, can cause people to blink or squint in photos, is if you're using like an ETTL flash.
Definitely.
So go ahead.
Well, just a lot of, like, some of those will have a red eye reduction where they shoot a pre-flash.
Mm-hmm.
And almost, I don't know, I would say probably 95% of the time, people will, when they see that tiny little flash, they will blink, and your image is with a blinking person.
That's right. And with ETTL, it sends out the test flash, which causes your subject to squint or blink, and then the real flash comes, not a good image. When you're shooting with studios, I mean, I don't shoot ETTL when I shoot off camera flash, and fluorescent, obviously the same thing. So you're not going to get that pre-flash messing up your photo.
Definitely.
So you did take one sample that I wanted to look at, because this is great. This is fluorescent as well?
This is sample. Yeah, that's fluorescent as well. The same exact same setup.
Okay.
This one is just the same thing. And he's doing all the things that we just talked about there with a bit of a shoulder twist.
Okay.
His front shoulder is dropped down just a little bit. His forehead is stuck out and his chin is up. I'm shooting eye level. He's got a little bit of a squint, and we think that we were on his best side on this one. So,
now how do you deal with shoulder height, like the back shoulder, front shoulder? Is that something you consider?
I want the front shoulder to just drop down just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say a little bit, I mean maybe a half an inch or an inch, and it's just to the point where they're they feel that it's actually down. It's just a touch uncomfortable.
And what does that sometimes bring the back shoulder up?
It does bring the back shoulder up, yeah.
Okay. Now, if you were to be shooting higher than eye level, because this is something I've run into accidentally, is if I'm up a little bit higher, I get them to bring the front shoulder down, their in this case, left shoulder would come up and sort of intersect with their chin. Now, I found that to be a pretty bad image.
Definitely. I mean, it's something you want to avoid.
Got that, Adam?
Sure.
Avoid that. Keep it clear.
Okay.
So, that's it. Other than that, what do you, how do you get him to smile like that? Because that looks like a very natural smile to me.
I get people to smile. We do a headshot session for me, lasts about an hour, hour and a half.
Okay.
And I'll be quite honest, the first 45 minutes, the images, we just delete them because they're not comfortable yet. And at about the 45 minute mark, people start to get comfortable with you. And I've learned a little bit about Mark in this case. He's actually a fellow photographer that needed a new promo shot for his website. So once we got comfortable with each other, we started, you know, telling a few jokes and just talking. I think we were talking about the Canucks there, and that's why we were laughing. And so we just got him real comfortable, and we got a little bit of a smile. The nice thing about the fluorescence too is we can shoot in little bursts of three.
Right. So do you shoot on burst mode or just keep firing?
I don't shoot on a burst mode, but I do. I fire three shots each time.
When shooting these sort of headshots too, I also find, as you've done here, that it's a great idea to sort of shoot photos between the photos, because oftentimes those between moments are most natural and are what kind of gives you your best images.
Oh, you're absolutely right. Sometimes, a high percentage of time, those are the ones that you end up keeping and using.
There you go. That's great. I think I'm off to the races now. Adam, are you going to do some good photos or what?
Yeah, you know what? I'm doing some photos tomorrow for a Sweet 16 party where it's going to be a lot of posing. So, be interesting to see how much of this information I can use. I imagine the bulk of it.
I think so. sounds promising.
It's good timing. It was good timing for this because this is something a little different than I typically do, which is shoot my kids and my wife in front of the white backgrounds and stuff. So this will be definitely something different. I'm quite excited about it, and just chance to use all of Dwayne's posing techniques.
I like to dovetail the show with your life.
Yeah.
Just make it easier for you.
Yeah,
that's great. I look forward to hopefully you being able to share some of those. I don't know if anyone will.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that will go, but if there are any standout images, I will ask if they don't mind. But again, depending on where other people's comfort level falls with that.
Wonderful. I look forward to seeing them. And so next week's photo challenge, Adam.
Yes,
we have two options here. We can either make it about take what we've learned and expand. Why don't we do that? Because that's what you're going to end up shooting anyway.
Right.
So we're going to do a full length. Do you think we'll do full length poses with anybody?
I will.
Yeah.
I absolutely will. But again, I don't know if I'll be able to use any of them, but I will be doing some. I'll be doing various from full length to probably some headshots.
Let's take what we learned today. Do a full length pose. Full length body.
Okay.
That's the photo challenge. Okay, great. Dwayne, thanks a lot for sharing that with us.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Where can people find you?
They can find me at dgphoto.ca, and they can also find me at dgworkshops.com.
Now, speaking of workshops, you have one coming up?
We do. February 23rd, we have one.
February 23rd. And that, yes. So if you're listening to this and in the Lower Mainland area, or don't mind traveling, check it out. Where can people find those again?
They can find the workshop information at dgworkshops.com.
dgworkshops.com. Be sure to check that out.
And I'm going to that workshop.
Is that right?
Adam is our celebrity.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. You going to sign some autographs, Adam?
Yeah, some Two Hosers promotion right there.
That sounds excellent.
Yeah. See, this is what I do for the show. I'm out hitting the street.
You're right. Yeah, I better pick up my socks here.
Pounding the pavement.
Well, we all appreciate it, Adam. So, Adam, where can people find your stuff besides Facebook, obviously?
That's where most of it is, but my wife still posts once a year on schwartzchronicles.com.
So, check that out.
She's asleep, so I can say that. Yeah.
Great. Yeah. And my stuff at alanattridge.com, where you can see my new homepage from this week's photo challenge, and the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can find out all you need to know about Twitter, Facebook, Google+, if that still exists, which, P.S., it does. and Flickr. Anything else on there, Adam?
No, I think you covered it. Twitter? Did you say Twitter?
Twitter's on there. We got Twitter. That's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.